All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, off-season week number two edition here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Thank you for joining us. The Free Stretch brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. And we have, for an off-season edition of the show, quite a bit to get to today. So let me lay out what I'm going to do here today, because I know what a lot of you are thinking. Maybe not all of you, but I know what a lot of you are thinking. Big, giant elephant in the room here. The Tampa Bay Bucks official Twitter account sent out that uniform teaser thing. Some people are uniform people, some people are not. I totally get that. And I don't mean I get it, because I don't see how you couldn't be a uniform person, but I get that that's the case. So, I'm going to put that at the end of the show today. So it's just hanging out there. I know everybody wants to, you know, hey, what's going on? For the people that aren't uni people, I won't make them sit through the early part of the show with that. So we're going to get to Jameis Winston having LASIK surgery and knee surgery. We're going to get to the XFL debut last weekend, and they're playing again this weekend, the Tampa Bay Vipers and all that. We'll talk about a little bit of that. We're going to get to some of the free agency stuff, although, again, there's nothing happening until early March. A lot of speculation and things. We're going to do all those football things to start the show off. And then at the very end, for the people who hashtag get it, the uniform people, we'll do this whole thing at the end as far as what we think we know about what the Buccaneers' plans are for not just the 2020 season, but hopefully generations beyond. And we can stop all this nonsense of screwing around with things every few years and pick something that's good and stay with it. But anyway, that'll be at the end of the show. In the meantime, again, we got a lot of other things to get to. The Free Stretch brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, where right now and always, you've got the nationwide, unlimited lifetime warranty. You can go there right now if you want, and you should, in person, right there on Dale Mabry, a mile north of the Raymond James Stadium, right there on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side of the road, and check everything out. But if you want to go to the website and just kind of poke around first, that's always a good idea when you're shopping. They have a very good website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. And what you'll see there, keep in mind, it's not just the brand new stuff. I mean, they have plenty of that, obviously. And the 2020s are in, of course, and everything else. But they've got brand new, they've got pre-owned, they've got used. And whatever you get, it doesn't have to be one of the new ones, you get the warranty, which means you buy a car there, as long as you own the car and you're the one that bought it, you're still the one that owns it. A year from now, two, three, four, 5 years from now, even longer, whatever it is, you have the peace of mind that entire time that if anything goes wrong with your engine, you bring it back in there and you are covered by the warranty. And that's something that you're not going to get other places. On top of the already transparent and competitive online pricing that you'll find when you go to the website, know in the back of your mind, you're never going to have to worry, like I think I heard something funny or something went wrong. You're covered. It's just that simple. BillCurryFord.com, again, C-U-R-R-I-E, check them out. Or go in person, see the GM, Sean Sullivan, good friend of mine. Mention me, mention the Free Stretch, mention Joe Bucks Fan. You'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. So, first things first, I'm going to start with the Jameis thing, because everybody's talking about it this week. You know, the news came out, it was reported. He has officially had LASIK surgery. He has not officially had a knee procedure, but there was video of him out there sitting on a medicine ball. He's got a brace on his knee. He's doing things against the wall. He's clearly had knee surgery as well, although that part has not been confirmed by his people. Either way, obviously the whole thing you think, well, hey, he needed LASIK this whole time? What does this mean going forward? Maybe he couldn't see. Maybe he was kind of not himself. Maybe this whole time he's been playing with a handicap and we're going to take those blinders off. No pun intended, I guess, but we're going to take those blinders off. It's going to be a whole new world. And I think, honestly, this comes down to where you are. Like so many things, whether it's sports or politics or whatever, a lot of it comes down to where you are before you know the news. That's how you're going to react to the news. So if you're a Jameis Winston guy, if you're someone who's backed him, if you're someone who's tried to convince friends and other people, hey, he still has improvement to be done. He still has the leap that he's going to make. This isn't the final finished product of Jameis Winston yet. Then you're probably one of those people that goes, whoa, he had LASIK? Dude, I am fired up for 2020. This means it's going to be a whole different quarterback, and this is something that's going to revolutionize the way he plays the game of football. He's going to be better and throw even more TDs and for more yards, but now it'll be with fewer picks. And on the other side, if you're someone who's just been, Jameis, I've moved on from him. He sucks, man. That guy's never going to change. He's a turnover waiting to happen. You can't trust him. I can't believe that bum is still even here. What are they even thinking about re-signing him? I don't care if it's the franchise tag or a long-term deal. You got to be crazy to keep him around. There's that camp, too. And if you're in that camp, you're probably sitting here today saying, whatever, LASIK's not a miracle surgery. He could still see. He knows who's who. Even if it was a little blurry, it's not going to make a difference. He is who he is. Quit trying to change him. You know he's just going to throw more picks and on and on. So how you felt before this news is still probably how you feel after. I'll say my piece, and if you listen to this show, you already know that I think Jameis Winston has lots of room to improve, and if no other things, I think that there's really not a better option out there than him right now from the position the Bucs are in. So, I'm not an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. I don't claim to be an expert or anything like that. Since this news came out, I've done some reading and things like that, and my own wife has had LASIK surgery. I have not. I've got great vision. People are saying it's the best vision they've ever seen. But anyway, my wife said that when she had the procedure done, and other people, if you go online, you can read. I mean, people, Greg Allman for The Athletic wrote an article. He interviewed people who have had LASIK and professional athletes who've had LASIK. And my wife said even when she was still in the chair, like when they were just wrapping the surgery, they weren't even completely done yet, she already felt like, whoa. Like she could tell a clear difference. Another athlete, I can't remember who it was in the article that Greg Allman wrote, had said that one of the athletes said it was like having lived in standard definition his whole life, and then all of a sudden, his eyes just got turned on to HD. Things like that. So, again, I don't see how this is anything but a good thing. It may not be as big of a deal as people like me want to make it out to be, but it certainly is going to help a little bit. And if you look at, yeah, you know, the question came up, well, hell, if it's that great, then how come you didn't have it sooner? What are we sitting here? How does an NFL team with these multi-million dollar long-term investments that can change the course of a franchise, how do they not have every T crossed, every I dotted? How they have anything left to chance? Wouldn't he have had this surgery when they drafted him if he was squinting like he was in college and we still see him do it? How do you wait that long? Well, again, from what I understand, and I'm not an expert, but from what I've read from people who are experts, first of all, they like to make sure that you need this. And so I think they want you to be on your prescription, whatever it is, for at least a year and maybe as many as 2 years. Second of all, your vision, you know, Jameis Winston is very young, we forget. Your vision is still changing up through your early 20s. And sometimes they want to see that stabilize and make sure, you know, they don't do this procedure on like 20-year-olds or 21-year-olds very often. So maybe they, you know, there's a reason why they waited until now. He's only 25 as it is, and perhaps that's another reason why. So those things make sense as possibilities. I have no idea, you know, what the actual reason that he got it now would be or why he wouldn't have gotten it sooner. Or I'm not going to pretend to know any of those things, but those are all plausible scenarios as to why entering his fifth season in the league, or actually now sixth season in the league, you know, this would have been something he didn't do until now. Either way, again, I think it's pretty foolish to claim that this means nothing. Like, I mean, sometimes I have great vision, even in my sunglasses. Like, I'll be playing ball. Like, I play Ultimate Frisbee a lot, or sometimes I play, you know, softball or whatever. Any sport you play with your friends, or even, like, in my driveway playing basketball. You know, it's bright out there, and I'll wear some sunglasses while I'm playing. Or even golf, where the ball's not even moving. And after a while, especially if I'm sweating and things like that, you know, I might want to take them off. And it's amazing. And these aren't even prescriptions. These are just regular sunglasses. Just taking those off, it's like, whoa, I see everything so much better. And I imagine that's probably a lot what it's like when you need LASIK all the time. Just having that filter, like, over your face is what it probably feels like. And then, boom, you remove the filter. And listen, it's not as simple as, oh, well, he knows who's on what team. Like, he could see the jersey colors. Even if it's a blur, he knows who's who. Dude, don't say that. Like, people have already heard saying that make it sound like not just that they haven't played sports before, that they've never done anything before. Like, as fast as these things move, any little bit of anything is extra hesitation, it's extra uncertainty, and you're just not quite yourself. And then you take that lens off or that filter off or whatever it feels like, and people that have had the surgery could probably describe it much better than I can, but you pull that filter away, and there's no way, in my opinion. And I'm willing to go out on a limb, you know, it's easy to say, oh, well, we don't know. No, you can call me out if he throws a million more interceptions this year and say, Bobby, you were wrong. I'm going out on a limb right now. This is a big deal, okay? I am calling it. There's no way. How could this not be a big deal? I mean, it's not quite like maybe being a hitter in baseball where you pick up spin on the laces, and that's really, really like a cute type of stuff. But even still, I mean, I don't care what position you play. I don't care what. If you're playing a sport at a high level, and the speed of the game is what it is in any level of sports that's this high, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, and you've got a vision issue that gets corrected, there is no way, that that's not going to help Jameis Winston this year. So I was already excited because he was moving from year one to year two in the Bruce Arians offense. And like Carson Palmer said, that's a very complicated offense that is very difficult at first, and your numbers are going to go up across the board, whether it's TDs, yards, or picks. But he said in year two, it gets a lot easier to handle, and it gets a lot easier to kind of cull away the bad things. Because again, just kind of like with your vision, any little hesitation, any little uncertainty, any little anything makes a big difference. So between the LASIK and that, there is zero doubt in my mind that we are getting a better quarterback in 20. If they keep him, which I think they are, I think Bruce Arians says he wants to kick tires on things, and I completely believe him. I don't think he's posturing, but at the end of the day, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes, what real options are there? All right. So once this gets done, whatever it ends up being, whether it's the franchise tag or not, I firmly believe, and I will say it now, and I will eat my words if I'm wrong, I firmly believe we're not just getting Jameis Winston back, but we're getting a better quarterback in the same person in 2020. As for the knee surgery thing, and I was a guest on my good friend Rock Riley's show with Martine Grammatica, who he and Rock do a show in the mornings. And I was a guest on it the other day, and Martine asked me about all this, and he said, you know, he knows he had played for the Bucks for a long time as the kicker. You know, every year at the end of the year, you know, people have issues and stuff. These guys have world-class health care, obviously. And at the end of the year, a lot of guys need something or other cleaned up or things like that. There are arthroscopic procedures. Not every surgery is a big deal, and he thinks that this is just a thing that need to get cleaned up. And a lot of guys on the team and a lot of guys around the league do things like this at the end of every season, and by the beginning of training camp the next year, it's totally fine. And I, you know, again, don't know for sure what the procedure, you know, the extent of it would be or anything like that. I'm not going to pretend to know, but it doesn't sound like that big of a deal, and in fact, I think it could be another thing like the LASIK that makes him better. You could see his, I mean, a few games this past year where he was bothered by a lower body something or other. The Saints game at home, which was a terrible game to begin with, was one I remember. There was another one, I forget where it was, where Ryan Griffin came in for a little bit, but that knee was a little bulky, it seemed like, at times. So again, I think this will only, after he's done rehabbing it, make him stronger. I mean, you can call me whatever you want. Call me eternally optimistic. Call me a Pollyanna. But I think we're getting a new and improved version. And I'm not saying it's going to be crazy different, but I just think we just upgrade a little bit. And I think these are all things. It's kind of like taking your car in for an oil change. They give you new wiper blades while you're there. They put some air in your tires while you're there. They do all these different things. And it's not just the oil change. So I think it's going to be a full off-season recharge for Jameis. And again, I think he's back. There's no question. Looking at the free agents. And The Athletic came out with their list of the top 100 free agents. The Bucks have six guys on that list. This is just one, you know, source's opinion on who the top free agents are. But just as a frame of reference, the Bucks have, with about $90 million in cap space available, these six guys that are in the top 100. They're not the only free agents, but you've got Shaq Barrett at number 12, Jameis at number 17, Jason Pierre-Paul at number 37, Rashad Perriman at number 52, who came on late as a third receiver later in the season. Of course, you've got Ndamukong Suh, he's 58, and Carl Nassib at number 77. Realistically, they're not going to get all six of those back, but it probably, you would think maybe four of those six would be back. Now, in what way, what order, what fashion? That's the part that's going to be speculated upon. Of course, they could do franchise tag on Jameis, re-sign Barrett to a multi-year deal. Shaq could get the franchise tag himself, and Jameis could get the deal. You can only use the franchise tag on one guy. JPP will cost a lot more this year. Of course, Perriman is a third receiver. Again, showed him that he can be a guy that can rely on there. But are there other guys you can get in free agency that aren't that different? Maybe. And then between Sue and Nassib, one of those guys maybe is back. And Sue did a great job. He was a big reason why the Bucs' run defense improved this year. But, you know, on a one-year deal, I don't know if they go back down that road again. And Nassib, again, was good. But he's a guy who he's really more suited as a 4-3 D-end rather than a 3-4. It doesn't mean they can't keep him. But I just overall think four of those six guys could be back. So, you know, you look at the whole thing, and just the part with these guys before you get to anybody else would probably, those four guys would take out about half of that $80 million. When you factor in Jameis, will get somewhere around high 20s or 30, and then whatever Shaq Barrett gets right there, that's almost half. And it, yeah, actually, it would be close to even more than half. So, you know, they got their work cut out for them, but as far as retaining those guys, I think they can keep four of the six. And then you got other guys, you know, like Peyton Barber. He's probably on his way out. Here's one I wanted to bring up because this was a running back thing I read this week. And I've talked on this show many, many times before about running backs and about, you know, a lot of the newer revelations and in research that has gone into how important running backs are. And not just the how important the actual position is, but how you should acquire your running backs and what the difference is between the guys that you draft really high and just schmucks off the street. Well, the Rams right now have a guy named Todd Gurley whose contract is so heavy around their necks, it's literally pulling them, well, not literally, it's figuratively pulling them almost into the center of the earth. They want to get out from under this contract for Todd Gurley. He's too expensive. Cowboys spent a lot of money on Zeke Elliott. And Pro Football Focus just recently published a little study into all this, and I thought it was important to know because we want to educate people on this show, and I like to educate myself. On running backs, since 2006, you know the stat WAR, wins above replacement, just basically it can give you the value of each player by seeing what the difference between that guy and your average just off-the-street replacement, like just average replacement level guy, just a guy basically. So the average WAR of an undrafted wide receiver in the past 15 years has been higher than a running back, not just any running back, than running backs in the first, second, or third round of the draft. So free agent wide receivers who didn't get drafted by anybody and that you barely notice are as much or more valuable than running backs you draft in the first, second, and third rounds. And then what about running backs versus running backs? Undrafted running backs, okay? Just guys, again, since 2006, have the same WAR as running backs drafted in the first, second, or third rounds. So what do we always say? It's not that running backs don't matter. I mean, would you rather have a good running back or a bad running back? I'd rather have a good running back, right? Would you rather get 6 yards when you run the ball or 4 yards? I'd rather get 6 yards. Obviously, these things are things we all know. But the way you acquire the people to do that should not be a way that consumes a hell of a lot of capital from your team. That capital is better spent, better used in other places. And with Ronald Jones back, you know, I would not do it. People I hear, oh, Le'Veon Bell in the past, where hey, draft so-and-so, I love this guy out of so-and-so, draft him in the second round. And you might be right. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying, so what? Just get a guy later. Get a guy that you didn't even draft, or get a guy like in the sixth round or something. It really doesn't. They're interchangeable is the point. It's not that the running game doesn't matter. It's that the players that play that position are not very different from each other. And having a guy in the first or second round that's some stud from college doesn't really make any difference as opposed to just getting a guy either off the street or in the later rounds. So keep that in mind. Because you always hear a lot, there's always somebody, and you'll see or some mock draft or something like that. Oh, we got him taking, you know, insert stud running back from some college here. This guy's different. This guy's a game changer. And, you know, in this day and age, it just doesn't matter that much, okay? So keep that in mind. And that's something that, again, when it comes to free agency, I don't think is going to be that big of a deal. They got Ronald Jones. They'll get somebody else with him, and that'll be that. It'll be fine. As far as the quarterbacks, you know, like Bruce Arians, he actually spoke about it this week because he was at a coaching clinic, so he actually got up there behind the podium and talked a little bit about the quarterback situation. And to his credit, he's been very honest, or at least I think he's being honest, when he says, well, there's so much you don't know. There's the legal tampering period where you can find out if some guys are going to be staying with their teams or if they're going to be free agents. He said he'd be shocked if after all this hoopla, there actually were a lot of them. He thinks there'll only be one or two big-name quarterbacks that are actually available. And he's probably right. There's a reason these guys don't come available because they're not, if they come available, they're not that big of a deal to begin with. Unless they want to be available. Like Tom Brady. If he had that option, he could be available. I doubt he will be. He'll go back to New England. Drew Brees is pretty much going to be back with the Saints. So that means Teddy Bridgewater will be probably out there. And then, of course, we already talked about Phillip Rivers a ton and things like that. Who else is there? I mean, there's guys that are on their teams, but their teams are probably ready to move on, like Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco, Alex Smith. I don't see a single person. We talked about Brady, who's not coming out. But other than that, I don't see a single person that makes me go, yeah, he's a better option than Jameis. Especially now that we know he's got LASIK surgery. Come on, guys. Get excited about that. He can see now. You've got to be on board. He's going to be the quarterback in 2020. So, if anything changes, and let me just lay out some dates for you just for a timeline here because we got a bunch more shows till anything changes. February is going to be a quiet month. But in a few weeks, at 4 p.m. on March the 10th, that's the deadline for tags, whether it's the franchise tag or, you know, they got a couple different kinds of tags. But 4 p.m. March 10th, if the Bucs are going to go that route with either Shaq Barrett or with Jameis Winston, it would be 4 p.m. on March the 10th, the deadline to do that. Free agents, of course, they are not limited in any way to talk to the teams they are already with or were with right now. But they can talk to other teams starting on March 16th. They can't sign yet, though. There's a couple days in there between March 16th and March 18th where free agents can talk to other teams, but just talk. And then as of March 18th, free agents can sign. So those will be a big few days there from March 10th and then the next week, March 16th through 18th, when we'll find out some things. And until then, we won't find out much at all. And Bruce Arians and the coaching staff probably won't either. They want to know what the options are. It's not really about trying to declare Jameis Winston fit or unfit to be the quarterback so much as what is our best option for 2020, Jameis Winston or someone else. And depending on who the someone else's are will be the answer to that question. And that's it. And there's nothing going on right now in that department. If you want to email me, always appreciate hearing from you. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. It's BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, same thing, @BobbyGameDay. I'm going to do the XFL thing next week because there's some games going on this weekend, and I want to get a couple more, like, a little larger sample size. But I do like what they've been doing. I noticed with the kickoff thing, I don't like it as much as a regular kickoff, but I like it more as what they've done to kickoffs in the NFL because they actually have returns now. We'll talk about that stuff next week. I want to watch a little bit more today and tomorrow. I'm recording this on Saturday morning right now. And hopefully the Vipers can score a touchdown before next week, and we can talk about that too. But let's go ahead and get to the most important thing, at least on my mind right now. And it's something we've talked about in the past. I don't usually talk about it every show because there's nothing much to say, but now there's something to say. So, all offseason long, you know, there's been speculation. Of course, everybody that has eyes, and maybe if you don't think this, maybe you need LASIK, but everybody that has eyes that function looks at the Bucs uniforms and their eyes kind of start to water because they're so hideously ugly. They're some of the worst things I've ever seen. I maintain to this day, okay, that the worst decision the Bucs have ever made, even worse than Bo Jackson being drafted when he said he wasn't going to come here, or even worse than any of the decisions they've made with any player personnel, the single worst decision, certainly that the Glazers have ever made, maybe that the Bucs have ever made, was to wear the uniforms they currently wear. And I will say this as much too. Of all the things my pro and college favorite sports teams have done to hurt me, and of course, being a sports fan, you get hurt sometimes. But nothing Whether it was the Bucks blowing that lead to Peyton Manning and the Colts on Monday Night Football back in 2003, whether it was a team that went 0-26 to start off their entire history, whether it was not making the playoffs my entire childhood until my senior year in high school, or not making the playoffs again my entire adulthood so far since, you know, when they won the Super Bowl when I was just out of college and haven't even been back to the playoffs almost my entire adult life. None of those things, as much as they hurt, have ever hurt me as much as the day. And it's one of those, where were you? Like, it was almost like, you know, when you hear about some of those horrible things that you get news on and you remember exactly where you were. I remember exactly where I was when I saw the Bucks uniforms for the first time. I was in the parking lot of my mechanic, and I had been hearing about it and hearing about it, and I was in there for something. I forgot about what, but I got a text from my buddy, "Go on Twitter, they're out." And I immediately went on Twitter right there in the parking lot, and like my hands were shaking, like literally shaking. And then when I saw them for the first time, I mean, I'll never ever forget the hollowness and the emptiness in my heart, as if nothing mattered anymore, you know? Like, that was how bad it was. And again, none of my sports teams have ever, or really could ever, do anything as damaging to my psyche as what the Bucks have done every single Sunday since that day in the football season, and that's coming out and wearing the uniforms they wear. They're that bad. So, this is something that most people realized right away, but a lot of people are very fickle and they're very weak-minded. So just because something's new, I remember when the Bucks uniforms coming out, how many people trying to tell me, "Oh no, they're really cool. You're just an old guy," even though I was younger than most of the people that liked them. "You're just an old guy, and you know the world's passing you by, and you just don't like change." Screw any of those people that said that, by the way. Good looking is good looking, and ugly is ugly. And I don't care what's new and what's old or what's not. These have been hideous the whole time, but of course, you could literally design, there's nothing you could come up with, nothing that you could come up with that you wouldn't get at least a small group of people saying, "Oh yeah, these are great." I mean, there does not matter what you do, you will find people being like, "Oh man, you just don't like change, dude, these are cool." You know, they could literally be like vomit uniforms, that just actual vomit, and like plastered all over the uniform. People are like, "No man, this is new age, dude. Nike's just so far ahead of what your mind is able to comprehend. You just don't get it, dude." So you'll find idiots like that no matter what. But the pendulum has finally swung where it's pretty much universal now. If you go to any online poll, if you just go on Twitter, if you talk to people, almost everybody's like, "Yeah, they have to change." Now here's my thing. Obviously, I'm a little bit excited about the possibility of this. And now that the Bucks have basically acknowledged they're doing it, we can say it's going to happen. But knowing what I know about these people, and by these people I mean both A, the Glazers, and B, Nike, and just really anybody who's involved in modern uniform design, knowing what I know about these people, I'm both excited on one hand and completely scared to death on the other, because they never get anything right, and there's a good chance these will be bad too. Now, if it was up to me, I think with uniforms, change is bad. Change should be minor. It should be tweaks to things like striping or piping or things like very minor things. But I think if you look at the teams that have the best uniforms in the NFL, the teams that are the most recognizable, the teams that are the most iconic, the teams that make the most money, pretty much, who are they? The Cowboys, the Steelers, the Packers. You know, what do these teams have in common? Oh, the Raiders. I forgot the Raiders. What do these teams have in common? You can go pull game footage from 1975, 1985, 1995, 2005, and 2015, and no matter where you pull it from, those teams look exactly the same. Because even above ugly or not ugly, and none of them are ugly, but even if you have ugly uniforms, the most important thing about uniforms is consistency. They should look the same. You should see a uniform and go, "Oh, that's the blank. That's the Raiders." Yeah, like you see the Raiders uniform. Even if you're in a sports bar and you're 50 feet away and there's some TV up in the corner and you can't see that well what's happening on the field, you should be able to glance across the bar. "Oh, that's the Steelers game." Like, you should just see a uniform and know who it is. So when you change things every 5 years because you're a short-sighted moron who just thinks, "Oh, well, now fans will buy more jerseys," then your team never looks the same. You have no brand identity. You have no consistency. So the Packers and the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Raiders and the Chiefs and the teams like that that get it, That's why those teams are on top. Most of them are on top on the field, but whether or not they're on top on the field, they're always on top off the field. The Bears are another one. And not coincidentally, those teams' jerseys seem to sell better than teams like the Bucks and the ugly-ass Titans and the ugly-ass Jaguars and all these teams that have the quote-unquote modern look, whatever the hell that's supposed to even mean, with craggly lines and truncated stripes and idiotic number fonts and all the stuff that people with terrible taste gravitate to. And that's the category that we've been in for a long time now, and it hurts me. So, if it was me, I would simply revert back to what they wore from 1997 through 2014 with a modern update to the striping. It doesn't take much. In fact, I have tweeted. If you go to my Twitter account, you can see it if you click on media. Somebody on Reddit actually made a mock-up, and they just slightly tweaked the uniforms that they had, the Super Bowl-era uniforms, everybody calls them. And that's what, because that is something people already recognize. I'm afraid we'll go to something brand new again, and we'll still look completely different than all these years of history the Bucks have already amassed. And then we'll have to get used to that, and it won't look anything like the Bucks teams. The pull of something you grew up with is powerful. This is the uniform that my kids are going to grow up with. I'm confident enough that as ugly as this is, my kids won't remember it that much. Thankfully, my kids are 8 and 5. So this next uniform is the uniform. This is going to be, and I don't want to change it again in 5 years. I want them to come up with something now that they're still wearing 40 years from now. And maybe I'm naive to think that the Glazers would do that, or whoever owns the team through all that time would do that. But that's what you should be shooting for. Like, you should be saying, let's get this right. Let's keep this simple and clean and recognizable, and then let's keep our grubby little hands off of it until we're in the nursing home, like decades from now. That's how slow, it should be like evolution with a uniform change. Like, you barely even notice it, you know, and then maybe you change a stripe here and there every 15, 20 years, and that's it, all right? And if your ADD is so bad that you get quote-unquote bored with uniforms after a little while, then I feel bad for you. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, put down the smartphone, you know, read a book or something. Because, again, Packers fans seem to do plenty okay. Cowboys fans seem to do plenty okay. They don't say, oh, man, it's the same thing every week. I want some combination. That's another thing now. It's all combinations. No. Home uniform, road uniform. Don't change it, okay? Oh, we're going with these pants this week. Oh, we're going Color Rush this week. I know everybody has to do it at least. You know, the Packers wear white pants every once in a while. Home, road, simple, clean. I'll see you in like 2050, and we can talk about this again. Maybe. That's the way it should be. So, the teaser they put out for the uniforms, it's actually pretty well done. Give the Bucks credit. I don't know what the uniforms are going to look like or if they're well done. But it shows a guy pulling up in the middle of the night to Raymond James Stadium. He's got a gym bag. And it's all like real, you know, they don't show clear shots of anything. But he walks in. He opens up the bag. He plasters a bunch of newspaper clippings to the wall. Some that are celebrating great moments in Bucks history on the field. Some talking about the uniform, you know, the time they changed from orange to red and pewter. He plasters that to the wall. Then he spray paints the pirate ship, not the flag logo. And I'm not sure how that's going to work, but he spray paints the ship logo. And there's orange, red, and some pewter up there. And that's all it is. And then you don't know. Now, by the way, let me say this too. The orange uniforms the Bucks wore from 1976 through 1996, okay? That is the most perfect sports uniform ever created by mankind, in my opinion. And if it was up to me, they never would have changed. But you either wear those exact uniforms, or you wear your red and pewter. This trying to blend, oh, we're going to take some from there. Look, I wouldn't have changed them. And I don't associate uniforms with winning and losing either. I just go with what looks bad. I wish the Bucks had won the Super Bowl in those orange uniforms. I don't believe that they changed uniforms and that's why they got better. But the Glazers, when they took the team over, they wanted to change the culture and the attitude. They thought that was a way to do it. Fine, they came up with a good new thing. They've worn the red and pewter now longer than they wore the orange and white. So, but either one or the other, you know, that's my thing. But don't try to throw some orange thing in there unless it's Bucko Bruce, regular. And don't try and come up with a white helmet for the red and pewter just so you can have a throwback game. I know people always say, they need to wear white helmets because the NFL has the one helmet rule. And this way we can wear the Bucks throwbacks, you know, with the orange. Hey, I love those orange and white uniforms. But to change your entire current uniform just so you can wear a throwback once a year is not a good enough reason. And a white helmet would not look good with red and pewter. Okay, what they wear now looks perfect. They should keep the helmets pewter. You know, you look at the flag logo, and that logo is on the side of the seats at the end of each row on Raymond James Stadium. And that's not something you can't ever change, but it's a pain. They just have a new indoor practice facility with a new turf field in it, which has that flag logo at midfield. Again, you could change that, I guess, but it'd be a big production. I don't think they're going to do anything that the primary color isn't red. There's 65,000 red seats, and then the club seats are pewter at Raymond James Stadium. So I don't think the change will be that drastic. I really hope it's kind of just a return to what we're used to with a little bit of a tweak. I really hope that's what it is, but I don't know. And I, by the way, even though the one helmet rule I don't think really makes anything much safer, I fully support it in the NFL, even though it means the Bucs can't wear their beautiful throwbacks. And I'll tell you why. Same thing I said before about combinations. College football's crazy now. Nobody looks the same any week. Oh, this week we're wearing our red helmets. This week we're wearing white helmets. Hey, we're going blue helmet. No, you should have one helmet, one. Of all of uniform features, your helmet is your symbol, okay? That is the one thing that should never, ever deviate. So I like the one helmet rule in the NFL because, you know, otherwise teams would try and be like college where, oh, we're going to wear white ones this week with our white. We're going to go all white. White tops, white helmets, white. Just, no. If your helmet ain't white, then it ain't white. And I can't stand when people, again, just you want to mix and match all this crap and you can't recognize it. I should be able to pick out a team from 100 million yards away. Oh, yeah, that's the Colts. That's another one I forgot to mention. Love the Colts uniforms. You know, not, oh, well, this week we're this, next week we're that, we'll mix it up, whatever. That's why the NFL, people make fun of all their uniform rules and stuff like that, and some of them are a little bit overbearing and a little bit stringent. I get it, but you know what? The visual product is so much better than college football because you can count on it. Now, it's getting worse with the color rush and all the different things they try and do, but on the whole, I like knowing that I'm going to turn the TV on and see two teams and instantly recognize who they are. There's a lot to be said for that, and I hope the Bucs keep that in mind with this new switch. Obviously, we don't know much, but they have definitely acknowledged something's happening. You're going to hear about it here on this show no matter what, and you'll hear about it much sooner than that on Twitter. So that's my piece for now. I'm not going to take it any further than that. Thanks to all of you for listening. Enjoy your President's Day weekend. Remember, this could be Super Bowl weekend in a few years if they try to extend that a little bit more and try and take advantage of that three-day weekend that some of you have. But whether you're working Monday or not, enjoy the weekend and be safe out there. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford, our loyal sponsor. Thanks to Joe Bucks Fan, the Joes, for giving me this platform to be in front of all of you every week. And as always, I tell you, there ain't any better place anywhere, whether it's the internet, radio, TV, no better place for Tampa Bay Buccaneers coverage than JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to them. And that is it for week two of the offseason. Enjoy the XFL action or whatever else. The Lightning are starting to get going right now. I will be back next week. And whatever we know by then, we'll cover on the show. In the meantime, be safe, have fun. I'll talk to you next week. And good morning, good afternoon, good night. And go Bucks.